You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And here we go. We have made it to Friday in beautiful Brevard County. And I pray that everything is going well in your life. Today, we're going to go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We are looking at the reality that we've got to be saved. If you are listening to this program and you have not asked Jesus to forgive you your sins and be the Lord of your life and are currently living that way, You need to remedy that. You need to deal with that as soon as possible. The world would tell you, hey, if you're going to give your life to Jesus, give your life to Jesus at the very last minute. That way you've squeezed as much out of this life as you possibly can. I want you to know that is deception. Okay? The goal is not to wait until the last minute to make Jesus the Lord of your life. The goal is to make Jesus the Lord of your life at the earliest possible point, because he is the one who provides abundant life for us. And that abundant life will spill over and impact other people in your life. Listen, you will have more joy, more peace, more blessings, more favor with Jesus as the Lord of your life. And so I encourage you to ask Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior as soon as you possibly can. You don't even have to wait to the end of the program. You can say, God, I've blown it. I've missed it by a huge difference. I've broken your heart. Would you forgive me of my sins? Would you be the Lord of my life? Would you empower me by your word and by God the Holy Spirit to live a life in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I want to thank you for it. You are my God, the lover of my soul, and I am so thankful that I have eternity to look forward to spending it with you. That would be a great way to start your weekend off right there. And so right now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're talking about the life of those who prefer darkness, prefer night than they do light or day. I was recently in a place, turned the light on, wasn't my house, wasn't the church, turned the light on, and immediately I noticed an insect that as soon as the light came on, that insect scurried towards a place that did not have light shining directly on it. Unfortunately for the insect, I had seen where he had scurried to and where he was hiding. And he preferred to stay there until I started rustling that area. And at that point in time, he said, the darkness isn't providing any cover for me. I've got to make a move. And if you're listening to this program and maybe your life's been a little shady, not as fully exposed to Jesus and living with the favor of his face upon you, not making his face to shine upon you. You know, the prayer out of Numbers chapter 6. Let me turn back there so I can read that for you. This is This is a great prayer of blessing. Numbers chapter 6, verse number 22 says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." So those are all things that you and I want to have happen in our life. By the way, if you do not have a church home, there is a number of people that I communicate with that we believe that there are some very turbulent waters ahead. And you don't want to face trouble alone. And so if you don't have a church home, I want to invite you to come and be a part of Merit Assembly of God. 165 North Grove Street. We may not have all of the bling that that other churches might have, but I tell you what, we're a group of believers that really want one another to thrive, we're looking to raise up people, men and women, boys and girls, who can survive in good times and can survive in bad times, who can grow in their faith and be effective for the kingdom of God. If you would be interested in that, we want to invite you out to Merit Assembly of God. I would be honored to worship side by side with you and to serve side by side with you and bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ together. So who knows what we could do together to be a blessing to God, to our families, to our church, to our community. How many different ways we could be a blessing. So back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 8, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." So as we signed off yesterday, we were describing that the hope that is described here is a confident expectation. It's a confident expectation that salvation is going to protect our head. I really like protecting my head. You only get one of those. You only get one body. You only get one life. And you would be amazed at how vulnerable an unprotected head can be. And so God has provided in the armor for us the helmet of salvation, or the helmet of the hope of salvation, because he wants us to be thoroughly equipped in protecting the way that we think, so that we do not think carnally any longer, but we have been transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that every thought is taken into captivity. Every thought is brought under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Every thought is measured by the word of God. And thoughts that do not line up with the word of God are immediately dispensed with and discharged. We don't want to have anything to do with them. So that's one of the tools that God has given to you. So there is this mindset that this world has that says you're supposed to be open-minded. You're supposed to be open-minded to everything that comes down the pike. Well, the same people that are telling you that are telling you that you have got to make sure to safeguard your computer so that things do not get into your computer that could damage your computer, damage your programs, damage all sorts of things. Those are things that there's. So they want you open-minded as a human being, but they want to protect a computer. There's something wrong there. So I want you to know that I am closed-minded to certain things, and I am open-minded to the things of God. So I do not approach my study of the Word, my prayer time, I don't approach my sermons or the way that I live that says to God, God, I know everything already. That would be foolishness. That's not the way I live. I live that say, God, I'm a finite being who has a finite experience with you, and you're an infinite God. You're a God of infinite holiness, not minimal holiness, infinite holiness. You're a God of infinite love. You're a God of infinite wisdom, infinite power, and you're wanting to make that known. God, I want you to know that I'm open-minded to whatever you want to share. On the same hand, I know that the devil has nothing good to offer me. Any thought that he would have come into my head, that is not for my benefit, that is for my detriment. And so there's a software security company that is out there that operates from a different strategy than what many others do. Many of the software security companies say that we're going to scan whatever comes into your computer, and if there's something damaging, we're going to try and isolate it and get it dealt with and get it out of your computer as soon as we can. There's another strategy that a company uses, and it says this: unless we know that the place that you are getting your information from is a safe site, we're not letting it get anywhere near your computer. And now it's not going to protect you from being stupid and doing, downloading things. I get emails regularly, and they're trying to get me to click on this link and click on that link. And it's like, no, that's not right. First of all, you misspelled the company's name. Second, you used misspelled word. The logo's not right. The font's not right. The address isn't right. The email address isn't right. I know that this is not legitimate. I'm not doing anything. I'm not clicking on that. So I block those, and I get them out of the system right away. It's like, not only are you not impacting me now, I don't want you to impact me ever again. So I want to encourage you to make sure that you protect your mind. With that being said, from a spiritual standpoint, I want to encourage you to do that as well from a physical standpoint. That you participate in activities that are going to keep you engaged mentally, that are going to keep your brain functioning to the best of your ability, that you're not going to be participating in things that are going to be damaging your brain cells or your brain function. You only get one mind. Take good care of it. So there's three things we've talked about so far, and that is that you protect your mind, that you be open-minded to the things of God, closed-minded to the things that are not of God, and that you participate in activities that are going to cause you to continue to function sound mentally. Don't be doing things that are going to be destroying your brain cells. Okay? Those are four strategies. So those are the things that God tells us here in 1 Thessalonians that have to do with the armor. There's a particular verse that I happen to think of. I think it's a great verse, even though it was said by not so great an individual. He just come back from, there was this king that had just come back from battle, and he decided that he was going to attack this this kingdom that was bigger, and the king of that kingdom said this, this was the king of Israel, "Let not the one who puts on his armor boast like the one who takes it off." And there's some wisdom in that. There are a lot of people who haven't been engaged in anything spiritually, and they don't have any experience. They may not even have any training yet. And sometimes we can find ourselves vulnerable due to our own pride. God gives us the armor of God so that we can prove those weapons, so that we can become familiar with them. It's not just for the day of battle. It is for every day. You learn how to function with them. You learn to appreciate them. You learn to maintain them and to care for them. And you learn to be strategic in the use of them. So we see that when David came to the battlefield, there were a lot of people who had a lot of armor. But when they were faced with Goliath, they lost their confidence in their ability and their armor's ability. And so every morning and every night, the two armies would stand there and they would shout at one another. And then Goliath would step forth and said, send a soldier out. We'll do battle. If he defeats me, then we will serve you. If I defeat him, he will serve us. There's a very interesting statement about Goliath, but I mean, I'm talking beyond the dimensions of his spear and his helmet and his armor and all of that sort of stuff. There is an interesting statement about it, and it said Goliath had been a warrior since his youth. So he had gone out to battle and been victorious in battle, and he was considerably larger than the people in Israel were. And so he went out there with a tremendous amount of confidence in his pedigree, in his equipment, and in his experience. David showed up, and he didn't have that armor. All he had was some experience taking care of the sheep that had been entrusted to him, and dealing with a bear and a lion that were trying to eat sheep. And I don't know about you, but I don't get up of a morning and say, boy, I'd like to go wrestle a lion today. I think I will go and lay hands on a bear. Those aren't things that come into my mind. But David had been equipped with a sling and a stone and a compassion for the sheep, and so he had become familiar with the use of those tools. And he said, look, I can go out there and deal with that guy who's defying the armies of the living God. Who is he to blaspheme God the way that he is doing? I'll go out. I'll take care of it right now. And all of a sudden somebody hears and they try and talk him out of it and all that. They send him into Saul. They said, look, David, you can't go because he has been a warrior since his youth and you are a youth. Well, whenever I see that, it's like, well, you got to start sometime. You got to start sometime. And I can't help you to start things that have already, those opportunities have already passed. But I can tell you that you can begin to live a life of faith and a life of victory, using the armor of God, using the word of God and the God of the armor and the God of the word. You can begin to live a victorious life spiritually today. And God will walk you through that process. So don't disqualify yourself because you're too old, you're too young, you're too male, you're too female, any of that sort of stuff. God is the one who gives you the victory. He just wants to develop you in that situation. So they send David to Saul. Saul stood head and shoulders above the rest of the people of Israel. And Saul said, well, I tell you what, you need to go out and you need to face him in my armor. And they put it on David, and David said this, I can't go into battle with these because I've not proved them. I've not proved them. Too many times we talk ourselves into complacency now by deceiving ourselves of our spiritual effectiveness later after decades of complacency. That is a fantasy. The truth of the matter is you and I train ourselves in such a way that every day we realize we are in a spiritual battle. And every day we learn a new skill, a new tactic, a new device. Put on your armor on a regular basis and expect that salvation is going to come. Don't let the battle of a lifetime be your first battle. Oh, I've got a friend. He's an incredible man of God. Very, very gifted. And I've known him since he was a teenager. But before he was a teenager, he had some very interesting experiences in life. And those experiences caused him to develop a courageousness, a boldness, if you will. And so it doesn't have to be something that's all provided. I've told you before, when we first came to Merit Assembly of God, we came because there was a need. We came because when we heard about the need, God said, this is the need I've been preparing you for. And it wasn't glamorous. It wasn't lucrative. It was anything but those things. It was detrimental to us financially for a season. So I can tell you that when you get engaged in the battle and you don't allow your emotions to determine the way that you think, and you don't determine, or you don't allow your finances to determine the way that you think, when you are protecting your mind because you are saved, because the one who took care of your sin problem also is able to deal with all of your other problems, it will change the way that you think. I've told you on this program many times of a guy that came and he sat down with me, and I don't remember exactly what day it was. Our first encounter was a phone call on a Friday night. I was at my office on a Friday, It was after hours because I had no power at my house. And we were supposed to go to somebody's house for dinner that night, and this guy called, and I was like, hey, you know what? I now understand why our power is out. Our power wasn't out because of the storm. Our power was out because I needed to be in a certain place to get that phone call. And I said, our power is going to come back on tonight. And while we were over at some friend's house for dinner, our power came back on. And in the conversations that I had with that gentleman, we began to talk about the processing of thoughts and renewing our mind. And he made this statement, and he said, I only know how to think the way that I know how to think. I don't know how everybody else thinks. And I will tell you that that statement is true of most of us. But what happens if we surrounded ourselves with believers who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who've got some life experiences, who have put on the breastplate of righteousness and the breastplate of faith and love, and they've been walking for decades with the helmet of salvation on their head, and therefore they have confident expectation that salvation and wholeness is going to come at every time. What if we surrounded ourselves with people who thought differently than what we do, in a godly manner, so that it challenges us and inspires us to think differently than we do now? I think that's one of the things that the body of Christ does. So there was a time in Merit Assembly of God's history, and God said, I want you to take this action because it's going to change the way that people at Merit Assembly of God think. And I will tell you that it has done that. And so a lot of times, if you, the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they were walking in victory, but they still thought like they were still back in Egypt under Pharaoh's oppression. And so if you begin to have an encounter with God and you start thinking about the God you've just had that encounter with, it'll change the way that you think. And so David, when he faced Goliath, he said, today God's giving you into my hand. I pray today that your thought processes will be impacted by the Savior of your soul, and you start thinking the way a believer would think, living in a land of darkness. So God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you next week right here on
Thank Refresh. You for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.